Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. Hey, come out this Friday, June 10th. They have all new music happy hour going on, 10% off any purchase, Four Hands Beer, and new records in store from Motorhead, Band of Horses, Congos, Garbage, Goo Goo Dolls, Phil Collins, The Smiths, Nas, Band of Skulls, all kinds of stuff. And then Saturday the 11th, live in store with Traveling Sound Machine. And on Sunday, live in store with Carson Mann of Scandaleros. So come out, check those events out. All of this information and more can be found on musicrecordshop.com and Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So go over there and follow them online. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Okay, everybody. This is Roland Johnson here, live Rock Paper Podcast. And we're here with Shane. He did a wonderful job on me, guys. Hope you all enjoying the music, in fact, and what he's broadcasting out to you. Keep it on your ear.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Sensitive kind of love, girl, turn me on. You really rock my world. Do things to me, drive me crazy. Come on, baby, stop stronger, don't make me lazy. Give me what I need, I'll give you what you want. I got the kind of loving that you can never want. Don't get discouraged, girl, about the things we do, 'cause all is here. You love, baby. Every time I see you, girl, you know you're the kind of woman that rock my world. You give me what I need, what I want. Come on and sock it to me, baby. Give me, don't say no. Can't get enough of your love, baby. Can't get enough of your love, no. You make me feel like you drive me crazy, baby. Don't worry about them and what they're saying. You've got the kind of love, girl, makes me wanna scream and shout back. I'm jumping up high as a mountain. You're the only one that rocks my world. Separate us. You and me, girl, make a force as though it's right. We can do it anything we want tonight, girl. Hold me, squeeze me, love me, don't tease me. Give me what I need, I'll give you what you want, girl. Yeah, all I want is to let you know again. Can't get enough of your love, baby.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, and this is our my fourth time in Blue Lotus Studios.
That's right, welcome Shane, yeah. Thank you for being here.
Hanging out with Roland Johnson and Paul Niehaus.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Yeah, welcome. We are here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is Paul's fourth appearance, two with Letter to Memphis, one is a... We talked solo.
That's right.
And now we're talking with Roland, and we got a new record coming out.
Titled Imagine This.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought this is be a cool time to sit down and talk about this record and all the exciting things going on. So yeah, I appreciate you guys taking some time out to hang. So.
Oh, no doubt, man. We just like to talk about, you know, just how it even started. You know what I'm saying? It's like I met Paul, you know, what, 2-3 years ago or something? Maybe
sounds
a little longer,
right.
to say.
A little longer than that, yeah.
But, we decided, Paul said, well, hey, man, I'd like to get with you, man. We can do some things, this, that, and that. I say, well, I'm a little busy right now, man. But he said, well, yeah, when you get a little time. So within my lows, you know, when you lose a gig, do a gig, lose a gig, whatever. And however, things got a little, I got a little space in between. I said, I'm going to call this little brother and see what's up, man. Because I did. No, we clicked when we first met. It was like, you know, his eyes met my eye, you know, and it's like something about this cat I like, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of grew at that point. Then so we kind of hooked up and start, you know, getting things of interest of what we like to do. I kind of got his feel, what he wanted to do, and he got mine. Say, okay, well, let's try to do something together, man, so on, so on, so on. So we started with the Blues Society, and I did a song on that one, you know, Ain't That Loving You. It's kind of a blues song they've been playing around town here lately. And so, but one day, you know, I started to, even before that song even started, the fact, I come over, I was invited over on a certain day that we agreed on. And I came down, you know, Paul was sitting in the studio just chilling on his guitar or whatever. I said, oh, wow, what's that, man? He said, I don't know, I'm just playing around. I'm just warming playing. Up, man. Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to get situated, you know. I said, well, play that lick again, man.
Yeah. And
he started playing, and Ain't That Loving You came out. It's just natural, you know what I'm saying? But with his accompaniment, that made me comfortable with the fact that where he listened to me, and I listened to where he was, and we kind of created that mass.
Yeah.
So within every time, you know, I come down to maybe, in turn, say, starting to putting that song together, he'd say, well, you know, so... Let's do an album, man. Let's do a whole album. You know, after that was released in terms. I said, oh, yeah, that's cool. He said, so how many do you think? I said, we're going to do 10. I said, I'll tell you what. We're just going to make a finalize. We're going to do 10 songs, and we're not going to stop until we get to 10. Man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was our plan.
We were on the
road.
We totally got, it's like at shop, you know, at the shop. Okay, you on the nail. And I'm on the stamper, and you got the hammer, and we put it down, you know, and it really developed to a family-oriented feel between us three, you know. Well, actually, the other member is Kevin O'Connor, you know, the guy that's with us or whatever, that's you know, within the union where we're at. And it just clicked. We all three just came together, you know what I'm saying? And we just started thinking, saying, well, you know, we can make this bigger and this and that. And I said, well, we're almost done, man. Not quite there, you know. But once we get there, then we'll know.
Yeah.
So we worked just that much harder to make it in terms of where it is right now. I can't wait for the release myself in terms, but whenever it comes out, I'm pretty sure the world will enjoy that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we feel really proud of this record. People who like... you know, classic Motown and Stax and all that stuff. If you love those records, you're going to love this record.
Mm-hmm.
It has that kind of feel and authenticity.
Definitely.
And it's new. It's completely new. All 10 of these songs are original creations, and they were highly collaborative. We feel really proud of it, and we can't wait to play these the whole album, all 10 songs, live for people at these release shows on the 23rd and the 24th of June.
Yeah.
Coming soon in your town.
Yes.
That's what we're doing, man. Yeah. We're here to focus and stay on top of that whole part. It's the part to being a group, to being able to express the love that the world's needed right now. Mm-hmm. Going through a lot of turmoils, man. Everybody's going through this and that and ups and downs or whatever. Well, we want to keep a happy medium to where it's all about love. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yes. That's all I know to say on that part. Because
nice.
Every time I open my mouth, it's about trying to teach some youngster this or accept in terms of way or manner, but in terms of make it positive within whatever way we end up.
Yes.
It, you know, just stay on point, man. That's where I'm feeling.
I like. So you guys gave me a copy of the record to listen to, and
yes,
and I was. But it's kind of. I mean, there is that sense of a resurgence of music today. Mm-hmm. Of like, you got guys like Nathaniel Ratliff and
yes.
Night Sweats, mm-hmm.
yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
Vintage Trouble,
yes.
and like,
yeah,
I mean,
Vintage, yeah. Leon Bridges,
yeah,
Charles Bradley, so many
for sure. There's mm-hmm. a lot of these acts that are, you know, brand new, all original material
yes.
coming out today. Mm-hmm. That are very reminiscent. I mean, obviously Nathaniel's on Stax Records. So,
that's right. That's right.
So I mean, it's a bit reminiscent of those old records we all love, you know, and
right.
sound. And but they're doing their own thing with it. And like, I feel like that's exactly what this record is too. You know, this.
Thank
is,
you. Yeah.
Thank you so
is,
much.
It's such a like I said off mic. It's such a warm feel to it. Like you listen and you forget that this is not. Some record from the 60s or something.
Nice.
You know, it's like,
nice.
It,
wow.
You know, it feels like you happen to discover, you know, some, you know, old Otis Redding or whatever, or something, you know, something like that, or whatever, just like a, those type of records and stuff.
It's like blowing the dust off of the,
yeah.
the good sport jacket you used to have. I got a nice pair of bell bottoms. I still got them, you know. Yeah,
right.
Just going for it. Good pair of boots, man. Oh, I love those boots, man, but... They're small now. My foot's got a little bigger.
Yeah.
Foot's got a little bigger, you know, so I can't go back. So, but anyway, yeah.
So do you write a lot of these lyrics, Roland, or where?
Well, yeah. I came based with, you know, more so the lyrics based, but the whole part of that was without the melody, I had no placement total, you know what I'm saying? You play one chord, I got a word or two to Bob, but
yeah.
we finally just figured out that portion of how to make it flow within one another.
Sure.
Because I don't know you. You don't know
yeah.
me. But when you say something, if I don't have an answer, you say, okay, he didn't quite hear what I said. Then you express it another way. Then I got an answer. That's the way
yeah.
it's relevant and it's put down. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able to relate in time, in click, in ear, in sound, in meaning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it came together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but that's basically what that I'm master of, basically, say the vocal, the words
yeah.
like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I play a little drum. I'm not, you know, who's
Howard Grimes?
Cobb Ham or nobody. You know, nobody like that. Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
Howard,
yeah.
Matter of fact, you got something that came with
oh,
that.
Man.
Yeah, man.
I'd like to play a voicemail on my phone really quickly from Mr. Howard Grimes of Memphis, Tennessee. He got a copy of the record from our friend Bruce, and let me just play that.
Hello, Paul. This is Howard Grimes from Memphis. I'm here with Bruce Bannon. We had a great show last night, and he told me that you was a great friend and fan of mine. I just wanted to say hello to you. And a great drummer, so keep the good work up, brother. Take care.
Yeah.
How sweet was that, man? That was
so
awesome.
Sweet. So, a quick story. Track number two on the album Promised Land, I'm playing the drums on, and mentally, I was trying my hardest to channel Howard Grimes and play exactly what he would play on that. And people who like know the subtleties of his drumming in Memphis, I hope they hear that and appreciate it. He's an amazing dude. He's an amazing dude. Check him out on all of Al Green's records and Ann Peebles. He was the high rhythm section drummer, and he's the sweetest human being.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
One of my favorite artists out there, man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. Just I've been fortunate enough to meet some of those people I really idolize and, you know,
right.
and admire. And it's just... it's an incredible feeling to when they say something nice about your art. You know, it's like when, and that's you know, it's really something powerful. Like,
yes, it
so,
is.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Very cool.
Yeah, that gives me more hope to. I got more people.
Yeah,
but I mean, it keeps that drive in me, man. You
sure.
Yeah. I'll never lose it. I was born this way. I don't go out this way.
Roland, I have a hypothetical question to pose to you.
Yes, sir.
If you could set up your like dream duet, like showcase gig with one other star performer, living or dead, who would it be? Like it would be Roland Johnson and someone. Otis
Redding.
There you go, man.
That's my boy, man.
I had a suspicion, man, that might be the case.
Man, that's Otis, man. Yeah. I mean, I like Solomon Burt. You know, I mean, I love, I even love Ray Charles, man. That guy, he's such a.
He was so soulful.
He's such on top of all of it, man. What gets me, though, too, it just, well, let's just say Stevie Wonder himself, still living brother, you know, is how these guys form with no sight. But that's wrong, because they do have sight. When I'm on stage and I close my eyes, I feel that song more than I ever felt than to say, open my eyes to see the people.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel that song more. I can express out more from within with my eyes closed. So sometimes I might wear shades, but I'm not the one to be in the back. I don't want to hide, you know.
Right.
It's, you know, you're looking at me, I'm looking at you, so you'll know this base, you know, it's noticeable, the fact. But when you close your eyes, it's a different feel. I feel blinded, but at the same time, I feel more comfortable. You know, I can just say what I want to say.
Right.
And everybody knows what I'm saying.
Right.
And I can see them within my feel,
right,
in my heart, you know what I'm saying, or what they feeling, you know. So that's...
That's awesome.
That's kind of a different way to explain it. You know, I may have said it backwards, sideways, whatever. But look, people, I know what I'm talking about. I love it when I close my eyes. No, it's such a really a
nice,
a subtle feel. You know, it's just a subtle feel I can do and just say it.
Yes,
and don't have to feel no, you know, inner feelings against or whatever. You know, so I just say what I say and it works.
Yeah,
great. You
know. I don't know. Yeah, but those guys, Ray Charles, Otis Redding, I mean, and like, I always, when I was listening too, like, I was thinking of, like, some of the horn arrangement stuff that I feel like, almost like, there's some, like, a Temptations record or something, you know, there's a lot of those, like, come to mind when I'm listening to it. So, like, you can feel like there, you can, it's fun when you listen to that record and you can kind of hear, kind of pick out some of those influences. Like,
yo,
that,
see, you know, I sang a lot of that stuff when I was younger.
Yeah,
I'm on a group. I started out with the Belltones, which is a vocal group that five of us, and we doo-wop to do about it. You know, we did all the little clubs around, basically like the dance halls and stuff like that. You know, the teen towns, however to say, the YMCA's, all of that, and that's what we started from. You know, the Temptations. Whole anatomy, you know, just went from bottom to top, you know what I'm saying? And I tell you, they're very impressive to give you that drive.
Yeah,
it's kind of like you want to be them, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I got a lot of that drive from that, man. I did.
So is this,
and still I feel that way, you know,
everyone. Did you, so is this the first record, or have you, did you cut records with those groups, or? The Belltones?
Yeah, well, we didn't cut records, but we wrote songs, you know what I'm saying? And they're still in the dust on the shelf, basically, at that point, you know what I'm saying? Maybe one day I'm figuring to consider soon to bring some of that out, you know what I'm saying? Because that is some good stuff. Mm-hmm. It really is some good stuff. I still got, you know, written sheets on here, there, with stuff that we've done, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, for right now, you know, I'm just... feeling the glory where I'm at right now, man.
Oh, right, sure. This is
and
a
being
really
able to be able to do this, you know what I'm saying?
It's a really special moment. I mean, it's really the first all-original album of your career.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're so proud to,
totally, you
to be presenting
saying?
That.
That's very cool. I don't really know a lot about you yourself. You know, I've seen you perform Beale on Broadway a few times and things there, and... But I was hoping to maybe get some backstory of where some of these songs come from, and you know, did you grow up here in St. Louis? And
grew up here in St. Louis, born in Homer G. Phillips Hospital. Yeah. I don't know what year now, but however though, but see, my mom was in the spiritual and all this, that, and the other. You know what I'm saying? She sang a lot of Mahalia Jackson, all of this, that, or that. Mom would be in the house, man, just. Washing clothes, or cooking dinner, blah, whatever, like this, that, and the other. I'm the youngest of 13 of us.
Whoa.
We got a big one, you know what I'm saying? It was six girls and seven boys.
Man.
I'm the seventh son, okay? So, in turns, I'm holding on the tail of the dress, running around right with her, you know what I'm saying? My beginning of my vocal, really, seriously, I think I was seven. six or seven, something like that. And maybe younger, too, you know what I'm saying? But see, a lot of those years, you know, you get a little, you don't quite remember total how it was, or say that came to make it happen. But however, I'll just say 6 years old, she'd be singing and watching, and this, all this is going in my ear, man. She had perfect pitch.
Yeah.
Perfect pitch. And so I started, for whatever came out, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So she looked like one day, she, what are you doing? What are you singing? I said, I don't know, I'm just singing. She said, well, try that again. I'm serious. She gave me a few, you know, notes and quotating feels as far as the, how to do this, when to do that, how to sing louder, how to soften it. So that's kind of my concept, where I came from, you know, musically, where I got it, ingrained it in myself, you know what I'm saying, from her, and just started doing it. My first gig out was about, I guess I was about 15 or 16, you know what I'm saying, with the group Belltones, you know, because we met around school and this and that, you know, and we'd sing in the lunchrooms and in the bathrooms and this and that, you know, so we had a gig at the YMCA. Oh, man, we got all the girls, man, all the guys on the block, man. Hey, man, that's my girlfriend. Dude, go ahead, take her. You know, I don't know, man. She like me. I like her, too. But yeah, so how, you know, but that's in that day. You know, that's even now, man. You somebody all in your woman's face, like, whoa, I'm just being nice, man, being cordial. But I'm not trying to get your girlfriend. I got a girlfriend, you know, that kind of thing, you know. So, you know, within that part, so continuing that point, I've been doing this all my life, man. Yeah. Ever since that point, you know. So I don't miss. I do miss in a sense. If I'm not doing it, I'm around the house just singing, humming, or whatever. You know, you might say something's wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with me. That's what I know.
Sure.
Music is deep in your heart.
Oh, that is clear. That's my love, man. You know what I'm saying?
Anyone sees you perform, it's very clear.
Yeah,
man. Would you tell the people about track number three, Mother?
That's
track number three, Mother. Yeah, now that's song. Where that came from. We were buddies, man. Me and Mom, we were just the intimate of just togetherness, you know what I'm saying? I'd go out of town, you know, do a little job here or there at St. Genevieve or up and down in Rolla or somewhere here and there, whatever. That's considered a road for me, what I was doing, a lot of that. When I was doing the colleges and this and that, you know. And I'd bring her home something, bring a flower or something, you know what I'm saying, or whatever she wants. She loved cuckoo clocks. Strangest thing, man. She had, I don't know if you remember, maybe Grandma told you how to say, but it called whatnot shops. I mean, shelves.
Yeah.
They put them in the corners and hang them all on the wall. They have a manual or something, and then have one over here, one over there on each side of the manual, that kind of thing. So she had little figurines and all those, you know, all kind of little things like that, man. So that was her interest base.
She's
a Southern girl, Houston, Texas. Yes. Where she was, you know, that's where she's born.
Yeah.
And, you know, from that point, man, all of that in her, just she just brought along with her way of being, you know what I'm saying? Just a Southern girl, you know. But we were pretty close, man, enough to, you know, I did a lot of things with her, you know, that we talked a lot, you know what I'm saying? So that made me tight with Mom, you know what I'm saying? So when Mom needed something, wanted something, whatever, wasn't no problem. I was right there, you know, when I could be the bass. If I wasn't out singing somewhere or whatever, I'm with Mom, you know, this, that, and the other. And that song just stuck in my head. And actually, what happened, Paul, on that, and I think it was kind of the same way. You and Kevin played on this one, I think, where you guys had guitar piece.
Yeah, we wrote that song together. Kevin was on the drums. I was on the tremolo guitar. And all three of us wrote the chords.
Started coming
and then
together right there, and did
we went. Me and Kevin went in the control room, and you laid down a vocal track, and that was pretty much the final vocal track for that song.
It was kind of like a first take, wasn't it, man?
Exactly.
It was wicked, man. I was this is it. But all the time I was singing, it was like memories, you know what I'm saying? And those words came out in selective means, you know, what I was saying, and it came out that way, and I was like, Yeah, that's kind of the way the story was.
Yep.
Yeah. And I couldn't forget it. It's locked. You know, yeah. Whoa, that was Mother, man.
Yeah. I think I was listening to Stern Show a while ago, and I think it was like David Crosby was in and talking about some of those Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young records.
Yeah, same vibe, man. You know, that same experience of what they went through. Yeah.
He was saying, like, I think it was like, Almost Cut My Hair or something, and one of the big hits for him, and like how like they went in there and like one take cut that song, and
yeah.
that's the one on the record, and it's like, man, that's just crazy to think about, like
that's right.
You know, these guys just all sat in a studio and knocked it out in one try,
right.
And it's that good, you know, and and it's held up for 40 years now or something, so
totally.
See, just like this moment now, man, this will be a song to me. Seriously, just for the base of remembrance when you were here, and I'm sitting right at the same bar. And,
right.
Hey, Paul, you remember when Shane was here, man, and so-and-so, we was talking about this and that. I said, yeah, man, I remember that. Well, okay, let's try this, man, and it'll be a song.
Dude. I can't wait. I'm going to.
I'll probably name it Shane.
Yeah.
The Ballad of Shane.
Yeah.
Shane was here. You know, whatever, yeah, but it'll be a song.
Sure. I get a lot of that from the Western Shane. I get a lot of the, come back, Shane.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Man, we'd like to give a serious shout out and love to our brother Kevin O'Connor, who did a great job co-producing this record with us.
Right on, Kevin. Co-writing
many of the songs. He's an amazing musician and a great dude, and he did the horn and string arrangements for most of the songs that have horns and strings.
How beautiful was that,
man? Yeah.
Just he scored them out perfectly, wrote what he wanted in his head, and then we had these ace session players come in and overdub these parts over our takes, and it just came together so organically, and the three of us make such a great team, and thanks to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge part of this too.
We had another guy based not to just shut him down.
Of course.
One song that he did, Phil Westmoreland.
Phil Westmoreland, yep.
He did a lot of stuff with Fontella Bass, Rescue Me, that one.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, stuff like that. Bob McClure, you know.
Yep, so he wrote track number 6, Yours and Mine, on the album.
Yeah, right. that's
And we also
song.
Have one other co-writer, our buddy Rob Barnard.
Yeah.
He wrote the lyrics to track number 2, Promised Land.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Some of those players you mentioned... I know Devin. Did she do some background?
We had some background vocals. We had Devin Cahill from my band Letter to Memphis.
Yeah.
We had Little Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had my girlfriend Jackie Tuber, who also did the graphic art.
Yeah.
Thanks to her for doing both of those.
Girl, Jackie! Right on, baby.
And we also have a couple tracks that feature a guest vocalist, Miss Renee Smith,
mm-hmm.
who you might be familiar with from her track on the Blue Society compilation from 15 and 15. She's an amazing vocalist and a sweetheart, and she did a great job on her two tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let the demons out.
Let the demons out was her song.
Okay. Yeah, there was a... Because there's one that kind of you guys, I guess it's that one. I didn't have the track listing, so
right.
But you guys were talking back and forth to each other in the song, and like it kind of reminded me like that whole Marvin and Tammy.
Nice.
Kind of
that's
so,
yours and mine. Yeah. That's the one. I think that's the one he's talking about.
Well, there's two songs that are duets, and they both have this back and forth energy.
Promised Land and yours and mine. That's the two that we did duet wise. Yeah.
A detail that I think folks will be interested in learning about the way those were recorded was the vocal tracks on both of those. That's Renee and Roland together on either side of two microphones. So they have they're looking at each other, and two microphones are between them.
Yeah.
And so what you hear is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, you can, if you like what one did and what the other did wasn't so good, you can't do it. So it's committing to it, and they both sang and did it amazingly perfect. I wouldn't change it. I love the interaction and the energy they bring to it.
That was
together live.
Compound track, man.
I talked about it in a recent episode, but I mean there's something undescribable. It's a connection between the brains or whatever, you know. It's hard to even really articulate the proper words, but it's like it's just crazy when you guys are on that same wavelength and connection on a song, like.
Yeah.
And I watched I shared a video the other day, but I saw Chris Stapleton, one of my favorite singer-songwriters, coming up right now. I mean, well, he's been at it for a long time, but now he's getting a lot of success.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. But he performs with his wife on stage, and the two of them like just stare at each other the whole time, singing together these songs, and it just like it reminds me. And Jason Isbell does Amanda the same Shires, thing with Amanda.
Yeah.
But it's that whole like Johnny and June kind of thing. You know, it's like there's something magical that happens when those two sing together, and they're just looking at each other the whole time. And
absolutely.
So I mean, I can't imagine. You know, I feel that on the record when you guys were talking about that energy. That's
It's good, man.
You know, something really captured, something really beautiful there in that moment. So
thank you so much.
We've been friends a while, Renee and I. You know, and it was a great pleasure to to have her accompany me with with every song. You know, sure. and it worked like that. It worked exactly like that. Like we were saying this, and she was saying that. I was saying that to each other.
Right,
and it just. Automatic, simultaneously, right there, you know what I'm saying? Whatever I said, she had to say whatever.
She had to respond, right. They were responding to each
other.
So it
was no hesitance in between the words. Right. It was right there, man.
Yeah.
We both felt that.
Yep.
Yeah. You know. So we've been talking a lot about this record, and you have two release shows coming up.
That's right.
Yes.
And you can pick up copies, physical copies.
That's right.
At the shows June 23rd at Blue City Deli. Mm-hmm. And that'll be 6 to 8, you said?
Correct.
Yes, yes.
Great spot.
Great spot.
Yeah, I love that spot. Vinny.
Perhaps the best in the entire world.
Love Vinny, man.
Yeah.
Love Vinny, man. Great guy.
I haven't been over there in a bit. I need to make it over there. It's kind of the 6 to 8 shows that the scheduling wise is always difficult for my work.
Well, you got somebody to order for you. These get a couple of sandwiches, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Pizza's great, even.
Yeah.
His son's got the pizza place, man.
That's right.
Everything's jumping over there, man.
Yeah, but
it's great.
I definitely want to put this on the calendar, though. I'm going to.
Great, man. Hope you can make it.
Yeah.
We're going to have an 8-piece band with horns.
Oh, wow.
The whole shebang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're doing the whole record?
Yeah.
All 10 songs?
You better believe it.
Yeah. And then are you so the next night.
The next night?
The 24th.
Yep.
That'll be the Friday night.
Right,
you guys will be at Beale on Broadway, and that'll be the
8 to 10.
Correct.
Yes.
And you're no stranger to Beale. You
play every Wednesday. Yeah. Every Wednesday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Actually, 8 to 10 on Saturdays and 10:30 to 2:30 on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of like I'm at home.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So that's where I have to form everything to make new and old, whatever, transition. You know, I got to do it right
again,
there.
Again, Bud over there, he's running a great club. And it's
great guy, man. Yeah. He's a good person, man. He's a good person, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. It's been one of my favorite spots in town for several years. I mean, Kim Massey and Jeremiah. And,
They're good people.
Everybody that plays over there. There's a lot of really super talented people.
Totally.
Big Mike.
And, 7 nights a week, man.
Yeah.
And they really pay attention to getting the sound right,
dialed
in, and that's really always appreciated for musicians.
That's important,
it's important.
My side, because I don't like screaming over a mic and like, can you hear me? Because I can't hear myself, and I can't stand that, man. So I'll just bag off.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally just bag off. And, I can't hear you. Sing on the mic. I am singing.
Yeah.
With all I have. Turn it up.
Sure. Yeah,
give me a break, man. That'll wear you out, man.
And some of that, too, like, there's times where you feel like people are trying to sing over the crowd. Because sometimes, it's a bar-type setting. Sometimes there's a level of noise, and you're trying to sing over that.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you back off and you bring it down,
right,
and it brings everybody in, like, they all, like, stop talking.
So much comfort, man.
Right. Yeah. There's an art to that, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm in the comfort zone, man. Right. I'm totally there. But I don't like that blast thing where I'm out there.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like that because I'm uncomfortable then. I think I'm imposing a little too much, Mm-hmm. So I just bag it off and it works better.
Yeah. So again, the 8-piece band at BLQ,
yes,
right?
That's right.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, that's right. And besides those two release shows, the other important date to tell you about for this project is August 14th at the Casa Loma Ballroom. It's a Sunday night, and we're hoping to have a great show and
great crowd.
Great crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry. We were speaking of. Well, we'll talk about that later, fee-wise.
I haven't been over to Casa Loma, actually. I know I've seen,
obviously I follow a lot of our St. Louis talent, and like Pokey Lafarge is doing stuff over there, and Miss Jubilee, and a lot of these acts, kind of jazz swing and stuff going on over there. But I actually, I've never been in Kessel Room.
It's a good room, man. It's a good room.
A lot of history in that room. You
oh
said?
Yes, yeah. Way very back, old, way back. Old, and then they do a lot of the Latino bands too.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, the buses! You see the buses outside there? Latino all the way. They bring two buses with them.
Sure.
Crowd band.
Yeah.
I'm serious. They bring their own crowd. If there's nobody there, they support one another. Yeah. That's it. It works.
A lot of dancing that they do there too. A lot of swing dance. They do classes on. You know.
Well, there's a lot of Hispanic culture down there, on Cherokee.
Right on Cherokee. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Sure, it has a lot to do with it all too. There's a. And that's, I say it a lot on the show, but that's one of the things I really truly love about St. Louis is how eclectic this city is with our music and food and everything. I mean, there's so many cultures represented in St. Louis, and like there's just there's no shortage of great people and talent and doing their own things, whether it's food and music or whatever you're passionate about. So it's
so true, man. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to do as much as I can with this show is trying to highlight some of those special things in town and get people to know more about things in their own community and stuff. So
absolutely, man. You're doing a hell of a job. We thank you for it.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, man. Our first time meeting, but.
Yeah,
I'm starting to relax now. I was a little nervous at first. He's a little taller than me. Like, wow, man. This dude I got to do this with? Wow, man. It's great, man. Yeah. It's great. I'm enjoying the moment,
For sure, So we got those release parties. We got Casa Loma. And so a couple big shows to mark on your calendar for the summer.
That's right. And more to come.
Yeah, definitely. Always going to be more. Is there any other big goals for the year? I mean, is it just getting out there doing as many shows?
Well, just punch as much as we can, man. Yeah. Just putting it down,
right,
as much as we can, and hoping to get the contact and the lead ways to go where we promised to want to go.
Yeah,
go back to Paris, go back to Europe, what I'm saying?
Right. We feel that the market is really ripe for something like this now.
It's opened up now.
Yeah. And we think the quality is there that we'd like to attract opportunities for festival bookings.
Yes.
And taking the band to Europe. So at these shows, we're going to be trying really hard to get some high-quality photos and video for those promotional purposes. Kind of like phase one, make a great record, done. Phase two, let people hear it. Mm-hmm. So easier said than done, but we're figuring it out.
They're going to hear it regardless.
Yeah, right. Man. I'll definitely do my part to make it be heard.
We appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother.
For every chance we can get to be spotted, whatever. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
But, I agree, man. I think, saying earlier, some of those groups already doing it, it's right now. I think they're definitely just kind of knocking the door down for opening up opportunity for more for this sound.
Absolutely.
And bringing that sound back. And it's just, there's something, I feel like, I don't know, it's just kind of crazy how things cycle back around. You look at, there's somebody shared on online one day, but I remember it was the Beatles, it's they were originally on vinyl. Then it was on A-track and tape and then CD and then now and MP3 and then back now to vinyl
to vinyl.
Yeah, so it's just kind of crazy how everything goes full circle and stuff. And I feel like that's a lot of what this resurgence of great soul
and R&B,
It's just it's so there's those guys only like I said just helping out and getting more people into it and just kind of you see a lot of them even on PBS and stuff. They've been doing a lot of these was that Austin City Limits? They've been doing shows and stuff too. So it's great that it's more mass exposure to
totally.
Austin City Limits was a co thing with Nathaniel and I think it was Nathaniel and Leon Bridges on the same show. It's just there's. It's cool that that music's still alive.
It's great, man, and I think it's kind of like the swinging of the pendulum on the opposite side of a lot of the music we've had commercially that's really extremely computer oriented. Yeah. Like it's mainly like programmed, and I'm not saying that to disrespect it. No. I'm just saying I think people resonate with like real humans playing real instruments,
oh, yeah.
like not to a click track. Like it's okay if it speeds up and slows down a bit. We're humans. Yeah. We want those little mistakes. That's what makes it good.
Yeah. No, I agree. There's something about that's what I love about live music. You know, it's like it's not. Yeah. It's not. It might not be like exactly the same as the record, but yes. that's what I love about it. I love you know that you're getting something unique to that night. You have to be there in that room and to watch. You know, to witness it because
yes.
it, you know obviously they're always going to be pretty close, but there are those you know imperfections. I mean,
yeah.
it's live music. It's yeah. a lot. You know, it's. Like, again, there's no click track. It's
yeah.
eight minds working.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's right. That's so. Right.
Exactly.
See, it's just like yeah. on a live set, you can point it out, but you can't point it out on the record. You have to turn it out or
yeah.
tune it out or however. You know, it's always a button or some switch you got to
yeah.
use to make it, oh, no, this is where I want it. Yeah. So when you hear it, man, that's where you got to play it. And it might not come out like that perfectly all the time. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? But that reminded me when you was talking about the cassettes, the eight tracks, the butter. I got an old phonograph. I got to knock the dust off
sure.
so I can get my album together.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going
yeah.
back to a vinyl. This is going on vinyl. Though.
Yeah, no, I
got to put this yeah. on vinyl.
That would be
it's
awesome.
It's got to go. You know
that would,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, that would be
incredible. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah the 78 or whatever. You know, it don't
yeah.
matter. 33.
Sure.
oh,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can dust that off then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been buying a lot of vinyl. I'm a vinyl enthusiast myself, and but yeah, I agree. I think this would definitely make would sound real awesome on
a collector's, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So I know,
yeah, I'd love to hear it. Like
I mean,
that.
That's another, you know, again, with people while they're doing it, like a lot of the artists that I like are doing vinyl, so it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So with as many people out there still supporting vinyl, the cost has come back down. Like
that's
I mean,
right.
at
yeah.
the time it was pretty expensive, but
well, yeah.
but yeah, with like I mean, I got there's even comedians I know that have been putting their records on or putting their album on records and things.
That's amazing.
And, so mm-hmm. it's again they grew up being fans of putting on a Bill Cosby or a George Carlin record or whatever. So it's like the same kind of thing in music too. We all idolize those records, and we like, man,
yeah,
it'd be so cool to see our name on a record.
I got stacks of 45s
yeah.
and all, man, music that I loved, and then I got a 45 that
yeah.
I made, and oh, yeah,
yeah.
so.
We were talking to some of the studios. You were saying there was a story to tell about, you said you wanted to save it for the show about or something, about hanging, you walked into the studio and
Oh yeah, so the song that we're gonna take the show out with, "Someone to Love."
Yeah,
I was playing an acoustic guitar when Roland. You know, we like most of this record was made on our like weekly appointments. We like
yeah.
For once a week we would get together on Monday morning and just work. And we pretty much came up with one song every time we got together.
Oh yeah, every
until
time.
We got to 10. Then we said, "All right, we're done. Let's finish them now."
Right.
Yeah.
And so this one, "Someone to Love," track 10 on the record. I was just playing the guitar and. He was digging it, and I didn't have really the B section yet, like the where it switches. So we pretty much wrote it together in the moment, and we had one mic going, and that was pretty much how the song was written. It was
wow.
like spur of the moment, him reacting to what I was playing, us making a song of it. Literally, even the guitar solo that's on there, like. That my girlfriend says sounds like John Mayer guitar
oh, yeah.
when you know affectionately
yeah.
you know, she
yeah.
teases me about that
sure.
that's cool. I like smooth guitar playing, he's cool
yeah.
So that was actually sung by Roland when we got to the time in the track when it was solo
yeah.
he goes
yeah.
solo, then he sings literally what I
solo.
Ended up playing
yeah.
those note by note, so
yeah.
I like
yeah.
I played what he sang and
nice.
It just worked so perfectly and
it did.
That wasn't
yeah.
like redone, that was what he just did naturally the first time we played it together, acoustic
yeah.
guitar and vocals,
right.
which
yeah.
is how we're going to play it
yeah.
in just a moment.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah I thought, I think you've been even talking about a song, and that's why probably the one that I connected to the most on the record. It was stood out to me, and I like the fact that, like again, you were saying how it starts with acoustic and then you added that electric, and it kind of,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, just I love that combination.
Right.
One of my I always put it up there right at the top of my favorite songs is Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
And the way that they blend those you know, acoustic and electric guitars and stuff. And just
totally.
So I love that kind of sound. And then, and like, again, that when that solo kicks in, it just, man, it's, it grabs you.
It happens.
Like, it sounds good.
Yeah, so, it's natural. It's just natural.
Yeah.
Well, that actually just came to my head, you know. That
point. Yeah.
I loved it.
For sure.
And I'm still loving it.
Yeah. Yes. Cool. Yeah, so we got the record release party June 23rd, Blue City Deli, 6 to 8. And then again, Friday night, June 24th, Beal on Broadway, 8 to 10.
Yes.
And you can get physical copies there. And you guys are going to try to get it on digital?
It is. It'll be available on iTunes, Spotify, CD Baby. Those kind of things.
And that's all the 24th, that Friday, or?
It is out officially the 24th. Okay. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So so if you can't make the show, you could still grab a copy online.
That's right.
Or, of course, any of the other shows coming up. So
that's right.
Yeah.
If you come out and see me when you can, whenever you hear my name on the block, I'm down the street. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Come on out, man.
Come out and see him. He's a true, authentic OG.
Yeah.
And we, you know, have to respect.
What does that mean, OG? What is it?
Old guy.
No.
Original gangsta.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I thought it was other guy.
Other guy.
Odd guy. Yes, I love it. I love it.
One thing I like to do on here is I threw your picture up online and I asked for some of the fans to play along and participate, see if they had any questions for you.
I saw that one.
So if you don't mind, if you don't mind answering some of these, trying to. If it says I don't know if I'm good signal here. Trying to pull that up. We can edit this out. Okay. So, a couple questions. Neil asked, have you ever been starstruck by meeting one of your heroes? If so, which one? And then he also wanted to ask, who's the best in St. Louis right now, up and coming or otherwise?
Well, I am, but no, seriously. within the audience, the best. I met Ray Charles on the Admiral.
Oh, wow.
I did a show there, and they did this first little, what do you call this? Paul, I don't know exactly. Say it's a light, and it spears out in the atmosphere basin. And you can see the pictures on the. It's a light, though. It's
like a spotlight.
Yeah, something like a spotlight teletype thing or whatever they had going on or whatever. And they put Ray. He was up on that screen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We didn't see the light screen. I don't know what the scroll or whatever the heck it was. Whatever. Yeah, but I had the pleasure to meet him at the point.
Yeah.
And I met quite a few, man. I met Smokey once out in Robertsville. Remember that place, Paulie? I don't know if your dad maybe remember it or not. In Robertsville, Missouri, there.
I don't.
Way out in the county, out 44, out there, Summit, Ray Summit, out in that area there. And met Albert King, you know, I worked with him. He was from Illinois over there, you know what I'm saying? So he used to come in the club, Little Richards, you know, club over there.
Yeah.
Stuff like down in Brooklyn, Illinois, which he had a house down in there, like that. And I opened up for Roger Troutman down in Kentucky before he passed, you know what I'm saying, it turns. And man, that Roger then was awesome, man. He's the one with the little the voice box on his he's playing the little small keyboard, the little Yamaha keyboard, and singing through this tube, man. Woo! He got up on the table, walking the table, but the only thing basically was he didn't have an extra mic, so he took my wireless mic and he used that, you know what I'm saying, did his thing. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, man, this is awesome, man. You know, so, I mean, I met a lot of the entertainers out there. It's just, you know, just hard to think back when, where, you know, a lot of time within, you know what I'm saying? But, any other?
Yeah, Tyler wanted to ask, how much soul could a soul man soul if a soul man could soul?
Only if a man has soul, he can let go the soul, you know? That's all.
Yeah. Tony writes in, he says, I heard words that he's shared the stage in some fashion with the Temptations. I would like to hear him expand upon that.
Well, not exactly say up on stage with him, but, you know, curtain-wise, yeah, I've been there. And I know the guy right now is James McKay. He writes the charts for the shows and this and that, you know. And plus he plays bass for the Temps, you know what I'm saying, like that. But other than say on the stage with him, not literally, no.
Yeah.
No, it was just, I should have missed in turn somebody, yeah, he's good, because I make a few moves, you know what I'm saying? Because I watched him so close, man, you know, being with that group thing.
Sure.
You watch him and you kind of try to emulate the moves and this and that, so I'm a one-tation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tempting to do my thing that way. So,
Tony also asked, did you sing in high school, choir or not?
Yes, I did sing in high school.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went to Vashine High.
Okay.
Yeah, which was Hadley Tech from getting, then turned over to Vashine High, this, that, and other. Yeah, I was in the course. I was in the band. Mr. Spearman was the teacher, you know, music teacher, band teacher, actually, in fact. And we did a show, you know, saying, what was the title? I Can See Clearly Now The Rain Is Gone. That one there.
Yeah.
I can't think who did that. I can't remember the guy. So bright, 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 sunshiny day.
Yeah.
You know the song.
Yeah. The name's escaping me.
And show turned out real good, man. It was a good turnout in the auditorium and all. You know, it was nice. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he also writes. Whose concert could you not miss if they came to town? Like, so who's somebody you still
is really want? Now, yeah. Oh boy, that's so many, man. The fact, but to take it off the track, I guess say Stevie, man.
Yeah,
Stevie's a doctor, man.
He's
got it all.
Yeah, he's a
patent. You know what I'm saying?
It's nothing new. Everybody knows his greatness, but it's. For me, like,
it's special, man. It's special.
Yeah. I don't have any musical talents. I don't.
Right.
I'm just a fan. And
right.
But I look at a guy like that who, you know, even minus his eyesight, he's still been able to play drums and put keys and sing.
Anything you want, man. You know what I'm saying?
All right. It's so it's crazy that you know, he's never let that adversity get in his way and from creating all this greatness and so it's just. I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, I'm, you know, fully capable. It's not in me. But yeah, it's been coming out of him for a long time. I mean, he's
since 10, 11, 12, you know,
right.
13, what, fingertips? Come on, man, he's doing it.
Yeah.
But long story with that one too, man. Now, when I was 14, and we had, Martha and the Vandellas came to St. Louis. From my grade school, which was down the street from me, right there on the Enright, they came to a friend of mine's house, which Michael Davis is his name.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the same Michael Davis that wrote Pillow Talk.
Okay.
Michael Davis wrote Pillow Talk. They offered me a chance to be, you know, do Stevie Wonder, because they was looking for a Wonder Boy, in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
And my mom refused that. She turned it down. And it hurt me so bad, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was young, you know what I'm saying? And I'm the baby boy. Come on now.
Right.
No, he's not going anywhere, you know what I'm saying? And, what, 2-3, maybe a month or so later after that, they got Stevie, and he was making mud pies.
Yeah.
You know, his mom got him going, but he's blowing harmonica and this, and he's singing, and that's how he became, you know.
Sure.
Who he is now, Stevie Wonder. What's his name? I can't think of his real name. Marvin, is it? Somebody, I can't think of his real name. But yeah, that's how that became, you know, that point. But I had a chance to do that audition, you know what I'm saying? I auditioned for him right there, you know what I'm saying? And they loved it, you know what I'm saying? Talked to my mom and all, but she wouldn't go for it.
Right.
You know, she wouldn't go in for it. A lot of people here say, oh, man, you're just joking, man. You're not just. That's for real, though.
Sure.
That's a true story there.
Yeah.
That's for real. And I missed the moment saying having to have that opportunity, but I'm feeling good now that I'm still able to do whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because all of that, you know, I was inspired by and inspired by that, by just keeping going and doing what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying? Just keeping it moving, man. And I feel better doing this than just sitting around or saying doing an 8-hour job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is more than an 8-hour job. This is 24/7 here, man. Oh, man. It's every day. All day. I'm sleeping. I go to sleep singing or whatever, you know, in a sense of songs just running through my head. Some original off of someone else's track, maybe the point, or just a feel of where they be coming from, or the story told off of what they told, or the finishing of a story that's already been told. But, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. So,
yeah.
I try to stay intact with all of that, you know what I'm saying, to keep things kind of flowing.
Yeah, well, very cool.
Yeah.
So again, come out June 23rd, Blue City Deli, June 24th, Beale on Broadway, and get your copy of Imagine This.
Right? Imagine This, yeah.
Where's the title of that record? Is that a track title?
Yeah, it's a track on it.
It's basically we kind of thought we did this Jump Blues song, and we were trying to think of what to call it, and we had already had this title that Roland had proposed of Imagine, or and then we also did Imagine This. We said, well, let's write this song, the words with this drums and bass that we had already recorded.
And then, after
about 5 minutes, it morphed into like kind of the doo-wop vocals of that Jump Blues, imagine this, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Very cool. You can follow, Roland Johnson official Facebook page now.
That's right.
And then
give them a like.
Yeah.
The record's being released on Blue Lotus Recordings, which is my new record label.
Yeah.
And such an honor to have an artist like Roland as the first release to open up.
I'm opening this.
That's
man.
A high bar that he's setting.
I want to say that. That's pretty awesome that you guys made this record in this room, you know, and like, it's just like, it's not some fancy, you know, it's not Memphis, it's not or something. It's like this was made right here in St. Louis.
Totally,
that's right.
In this space, very organically,
right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something to be really proud of. That, you know, like this, I feel like there's up and coming people. They always, artists will be like, you know, they always have the stars in their eyes to go to New York or Nashville.
Right.
I mean, you can do it right here at home.
Right here at home, man.
Right.
Right here at home.
Yeah.
So, we'll visit your town next week, but we're going back home.
Sure.
That's right.
Yeah. We started right here.
This one was definitely homegrown grassroots.
It's definitely
and
what
we
it
wanted
is.
It that way. We wanted it with the one word to describe our aesthetic we were going for was real.
Yeah.
We grew our own tomatoes, grapes. We do all this, man. You know,
we've had many meals together in the course.
Totally, brother. Yeah. It's been great.
So, yeah, brother, thank you so much for having us on.
We appreciate you, Shane. Definitely, man. It's been a wonderful day, man.
It's been an absolute treat, guys. I thank you for hanging out and letting me get to hear some of this music. And I'm excited for the world to hear it next. And
right.
So we're gonna play. We're gonna do a studio track, and then we're gonna play one live, right? What's the studio track?
I think we were talking about the lead track, Can't Get Enough.
Yeah.
Can't Get Enough. All right.
Yeah.
And then
Someone to Love. Your favorite song.
Yeah.
We're doing the Alpha and the Omega. We're starting with track one, and we're gonna send you out with track 10.
Yeah. There you go.
So for the rest in the middle, come to the show.
Yeah. There you go. All right, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh. Woke up this morning, sunrise in my eyes. Looked over yonder, next to me I realized no one was there, it was awfully clear. It was you, baby, and I need it right here. What I need, someone to love. I need someone to love. I thought about it, it was true. It was you. Oh, I talked to a friend of mine just the other day. He said, man, I'm lonely too. I need someone to come my way. We shared our thoughts and what was on our mind. After all, we realized we needed someone by our side. I need someone to love. I need, oh, someone to love. It was often clear, oh yeah. I thought about it, baby. Oh, it was you. Oh, solo time now. Bang, da da ba ba da da. It's time now for me to call you on the phone. I ain't got your number ever since 1944. Everything I said, girl, you know it's often clear. And everything come out of my mouth, girl. See, that's what now is what it's all about. Cause I need someone. I need someone to, someone to embrace me. Oh, someone to be true. Someone to love. I need someone sweet, girl, someone like you.